Morning, church. It's wonderful to have you join us over the web again this week. I wanted to start out by not just welcoming the people from Jackson Hole who are joining us week in and week out, but also those of you who are joining us from other parts of the country. One of the mixed blessings of this experience is the privilege that we have in being able to join you all across the country. And so we're so grateful to those of you who are joining into our service locally and those of you who are joining into our service at a distance and across the country. So one of the things that you would hear on a Sunday morning at St. John's is that you are welcome to be a part of our congregation. And we mean that. And we try to embody it here, and we're learning how to do that virtually as well. So a warm welcome to those of you who are joining us this morning. Grateful again for the wonderful music that Kirsten and David are providing for us. And we have a very small production team that is making this happen week after week with Haley and JR. And we're all being careful to stay distant from one another. And nice to be up here again with Brian and Mary and to find new ways to collaborate together. I know this is different than what you would experience on a Sunday morning if you were here, and we so appreciate you going with the flow and learning alongside us as we learn to do church in new ways. I'm gonna ring a bell and we'll have a brief moment of quiet and our worship will begin.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Turning to your bulletin, let's say together Psalm 116, beginning with the first verse. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him. The cords of death entangled me. The grip of the grave took hold of me. I came to grief and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in word and deed before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer all these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. I'm going to start by talking about the gospel. I want to get back to Peter at the end. You know, this is another telling of the resurrection story, and it's very different in some ways. One of the things that really comes forward to me, Jesus comes to them as a stranger, and you feel their sadness and their grief at what has happened, and they can't quite believe it still because they had such hope that Jesus was the Messiah, and so they have this sense of despair, I would say, and then there's this hint about the women go to the tomb and it's empty and then he's risen and all of that, but they just don't believe it. And there's this constant theme in here about people really being able to accept this miracle that has happened and their willingness to believe. And even at the end, I love where it says, "Did you feel it burning in your heart?" Like they knew, but they refused to open their heart to it. And that was really, that's very powerful to me. And of course, it's the breaking of the bread. It's the thing that we do every Sunday, not these days, but that we do, that we all miss, right? That breaking of the bread that opened their hearts and their minds to the reality of Jesus still in their lives and the risen Jesus being a part of their lives. So that, for me, that I like this telling of the story. That burning in the heart. It reminds me a little bit of the conversation we had a few weeks back about the law being written on our hearts, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus entered into our hearts, and they knew. Mm-hmm. Once they were able to open themselves. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll get back to Peter.
I'm a fan of the story, too. I mean, I like the way it's told, I appreciate this idea that here are these disciples who have such a fixed understanding about how God might appear to us, to them, that even when they're in the presence of God, they are unable to see or feel that reality, though they do feel it.
Right.
But they're not in tune enough with it to put it all together, so to speak. And there's this moment where they recognize what's happened. And that's, I love the way that it says Jesus went out as if he was going to continue to go along the road.
Right.
And so what I have been asking myself this week in regard to the Road to Emmaus story is not only when do I find myself in the presence of God, but also what are the circumstances when I realize it, like what's happening or what has happened, and when it's like, whoa, right, there she is. Whoa, there's the living Christ. And I've been challenging myself over the course of the last 5 or so days about, like, what are the circumstances? Oh, yeah. And I took a walk yesterday at a safe distance from my friend Carter. And we were walking out on the Elk Refuge Road. And I was like, there it is. What are the circumstances? I'm immersed in nature. Mm-hmm. I'm having an affirming congregation with a friend that I love. Mm-hmm. You know, and trying to kind of put those together and sort of like, take note, try to remember what it is.
Yeah, and one of the things that I love about this little vignette is so they realize
in hindsight, that their hearts were burning as Jesus was unpacking the Gospels for them. But it takes that moment of recognition first, right? And in this reading and in the scene at the tomb in Luke, nobody can quite see Jesus.
Nobody recognizes
Jesus. And you know, it's probably no fault of their own. No fault is attributed to them, but it's a problem of vision. And I kind of love that because it goes back to our Lenten theme, which was looking at the world through a new pair of glasses, looking at the world through the lenses of love. And what occurred to me as I was thinking about this particular story is how many times do I not recognize Jesus?
Yeah.
On this road to Emmaus that we are
all on.
And so it's, and I haven't quite yet gotten where you got on the Elk Refuge, Jimmy, where you went, yes, there it was, there it is, here it is. But it's made me want to, you know, sharpen my vision in some way.
You know what I'm thinking as you're talking is that we even have ways culturally of acknowledging the fact that there are things that are happening that we don't see or that we fail to see, whether it's the proverbial wisdom of the quote-unquote elephant in the room, or it is the narrative of the emperor with no clothes. I mean, there are other ways that this human experience of being narrowly sighted or fixed or closed in some way narrates the human experience. This work of opening is spiritual work.
Because you see what you, there's sort of an expectation that you go into every experience with, and that clouds your view of what you end up seeing. And so that idea of being able, I think, being really intentional about it is what you have to do to open your eyes in new ways to new things. And I'm actually finding during this time I'm more aware of the presence of God because it is a really crazy time. And maybe I'm and so nothing's really normal. So I'm not, there is less expectation as you go through your day. But I find I'm working at trying to be more aware of God's presence in the four of us stuck in that house day in and day out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, yesterday I posted a picture of my kids playing basketball, which may not seem significant, but to me my kids had been after each other and bickering and fighting for days. And I was in working, all of a sudden they came out and they were playing basketball together and they were laughing and they were having so much fun. I was like,
I saw that, and I saw Adele making dinner.
Adele, after she cleaned the house. Yeah, I mean, it was a great day yesterday.
Banner day.
Well, what do you guys think about this? I mean, right now, we are in the throes and under the power of something that we can't see. You know, and I wonder
the virus,
and I wonder if that, if somehow that can be, can kind of open us up to trying to see other things that are not visible to us, that are not, you know, flesh and blood right in front of us.
Yeah,
the spirit, the
love.
That's
great. Now I'm also dying to hear what Mary has to say about First Peter.
Because
I'm just like, what are you going to take out of that?
I know. But this is the interesting thing, because when we first started talking about it at the beginning of the week, I was like, I hate this passage from First Peter. Do we have to do this one? And then when you were reading it tonight, I was hearing, or this morning, sorry, I was hearing it from a totally different perspective, from living in this moment. Mm. And there was something about the reverent fear during the time of your exile that just struck me. Reverent fear. Usually fear is something that just turns me off. Because, you know, fear is the opposite of love. If you're in a place of fear, you can't love. And yet there's this reverent fear in the time of your exile. And that just moved me. And I just wanted to put that out there because I didn't get it before until you read it. So I was like, wow, there's something really powerful in that concept. And then if you read the rest of it with that in mind, it has a very different feel to it. It doesn't feel fearful. It feels, you know, God is present. Mm-hmm. Through that fear, mm-hmm. fully present, which relates a little bit to what we were just saying.
Sure.
So I just heard it in a very different way when you read it tonight, and that was powerful for me. So now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart.
Yeah, that's that line that resonates for me, that genuine mutual love. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not forcing. This is something that out of the experience that we've had together, which was both fearful and wonderful, we have authentic affection for one another. And it goes to that idea of like those words of Jesus, like, how are they going to know?
Right.
They're going to know by the love that you express for one another.
And you get that sort of in this Emmaus story where they want to go tell the rest of the guys what happened. There is a camaraderie and a love between that group that grows over time and amongst this group. Yeah. All of you. Mm. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 So to the homework piece that we have this afternoon, I'm going to give you a little practical application. I would ask one or two things of you this week to consider. The first is, I would ask you to consider when you see God, to bring some real intention into noticing, just like our Lenten discipline of seeing the world through loving eyes, asking you to see when God pops up right before your very eyes, whether it's, you know, the request that you have from your child, or the tender reach that your partner extends, or the self-sacrificial care of the one who's restocking the toilet paper and the produce. And then if you feel comfortable, like, I'm seeing it there and there and there, I would invite you to examine the circumstances, to give some real thought around what are the conditions. Well, I'm well rested, I'm well fed, I'm out in nature, I'm connected to a person I love and feel supported by them. So those two ideas of seeing God, seeing the living Christ in the world around you. And then if you get pretty fluent in that, then what are the circumstances around that? Sound good? That's your homework for this week.
Bring them bells from the sanctuary.
Now let's say together the Christian affirmation in a time of uncertainty. We believe
in God the Creator, who reminds us in the drawing of every new day that new life is possible. We believe in the wonder and grandeur of the universe, where the whole of life is called to live in harmony of care. We believe in Jesus Christ, who prayed in the mountains of peace and brought us the word in mustard seeds and fig trees of blessing, whose footsteps touch the earth in love and who invites us to follow. We believe in the Holy Spirit, whose wisdom often lies embedded in ancient peoples. They trod lightly across deserts and lived gently among plants and creatures. They reached respectfully for the mystery, which is God with us, the one who never leaves or forsakes us. We believe in the everlasting hope, the great calling of the people of God, the Church, for the transforming of all things, which is possible in God. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Jackie, Mark, Eric, Paul, Rebecca, Marion, Stan, Sylvia, Megan, Warren, Melissa, Gail, Pat, Amy, Robin, Ernie and Francis, Ned, Kip, Mary, Mark, Julie, Nancy, Tony, Svetlana, Jim, Rob, Kelly, Sue, Susie, Stephen, Mary, Russell, Nikki, Ann, Cindy, Evelyn, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy in compassion and unity, that we may find new ways to connect and to love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays: Molly, Caitlin, Ryan, Wes, Chris, Charlie, Tanner, Frank, Jean, Anne, and those celebrating anniversaries: Alan and Marcia, Dale and Sharon, Tony and Georgia, Alex and Reagan, Ernie and Flicka. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds, that we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your Spirit among us that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world. Amen.
Amen.
And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you today and remain with you always.
Amen.
And the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace of the Lord, crew. Thanks for signing on and joining us online. We'll see you next week or in the in-between time, but we're really happy to have you join us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bye.